I bet most of y'all are looking around saying, who is he talking about? With that introduction, I'm like, gee me. I'm so honored to be here. And as I told Bishop Chuck a few minutes ago, I feel like I'm home. And this is where I did so much of my growing up spiritually, you know, with Holy Bro and all you guys and Bishop Chuck and Meg. And I mean, I feel like I grew up here. And so, you know, it's coming home. So I'm really honored to be among y'all and just love y'all to death. And so when Matt called me, or I called him to do the message at Blue Jean Service, there you are. He said, well, hey, I got one for you too. If I'll do that, would you do Wednesday night at our church? And I was like, sure, no problem. And I said, what do you want me to talk about? And he said, well, what's going on in your world? Isn't that kind of what you said? What's going on in your world? It was that general and that vague. And kind of I said, okay, well, what do you mean? And he said, well, you know, what's going on in court, or just what's going on in your world? And so I was like, okay. And so I was praying about what the Lord might want me to talk about tonight. I'm going to mention court just a little bit, because that's more like just reporting to the people of Dallas County. And then I'm going to talk about the thing that I think the Lord wants me to focus on the most. And then I want to give you guys a word. So anyway, here we go. Just to report on the district court, I'm the family court. I'm like the people's court. Night court is not very far from district court. It's crazy. It is insane. We have like 16,500 cases a year. Not many lawyers involved. It's like mano a mano. Some of you have been in there. And so I'm dealing with people all the time. And I do lots of different things. Child support, small claims, misdemeanor cases. Those are the got hit in the head with the frying pan kind of cases. Child support, neglected and abused children cases, juvenile delinquency, and Mike works in that. And contrary to popular belief, Mike really is a good juvenile probation officer. I know his reputation is pretty low here, but he's really a good probation officer. And I know you just came tonight because you're trying to suck up to me, but you really do a good job, all kidding aside. And I love you being up there. You're a great brother up there. So anyway, we do lots of different things, and I thought I'd just let you know, for your encouragement, we are making unbelievable headway with our juvenile system. Mike can tell you, we have had the most dramatic turnaround in juvenile delinquency that you could imagine. The statistics are phenomenal. And I think, of course, this is the Lord's favor is on this. You know, I mean, he's just the one guiding us and directing us and all that. But he's given us ideas, and every little bit that we're doing is adding up to something really big. And we've got things like a mentoring program. We've got a teen court program, which is a diversion program for first-time type offenders. And they go get judged by their peers and get sentenced by their peers. And it's very, very effective. And it keeps a lot of the kids from coming into the system. We've got a program called the Safe School Challenge. And I think it was really Mike's idea. The Lord gave it to Mike on the movie Major Pain. You know, that's a kind of a, that's right where Mike lives, at Major Pain level. You know, that's, yeah, you're out of here. Anyway, but it's based on that concept in that movie where the different schools compete for the school with the fewest incidents. And the incident could happen at the skating rink on Saturday night, but if I go to Keith High School and I get in a fight at the skating rink on Saturday night, it counts against my school. So it can be an incident in the community. And that program has been phenomenally successful because the school with the lowest number of incidents wins the Safe School Challenge, and we give tons of iPods, tons of computers and money and all kinds of fun stuff at a pep rally, and they get a big trophy, and the principals are into it. They're really competitive, and they want their schools to win, and long story short, it's been phenomenally successful. We've got other programs that we've got going that are maybe just really working, and this is how dramatic it is. One more thing. one of the things that I feel like as a juvenile judge and district judge, I'm the chief probation officer in the county by law. Chief juvenile officer in the county by law. That's what the statute says, is I'm the chief. So that puts me in charge of the juvenile, overall juvenile system. So I have some authority to call meetings and to make things happen. And we have been doing that. And we're working together with police, sheriff, school systems. We meet regularly and we brainstorm on ways to make it better. And so there's lots of cooperation. And the other folks that are involved are cooperating too. They're doing things. Out of these meetings come things that they do and the stuff that we do. And all together, because of this new spirit of cooperation, Selma High went from 75 incidents last year to 13 this year. I mean, y'all, that is phenomenal. Southside was off the chain 2 years ago. We knocked it in half this year. Chat, same thing. 3 years ago, Dallas County was horrible. I'm talking girl fights left and right. They were the most improved school 2 years ago, and we don't have any problems out of them anymore. Tipton has won it the last 2 years. They've had 6 incidents at their school. We used to have kids. It was like a revolving door coming in from Tipton. There were all kinds of Tipton kids. And so you need to know that there has been a tremendous turnaround in the juvenile system, juvenile delinquency system. Praise God. But a lot of hard work. So great stuff there. Dependency courts, I want you to know, those are the neglect and abuse kids. We have like quadrupled the number of cases in that court because these are kids that are abused and neglected and hadn't done anything wrong. And they're custody matters between people that are not married. And most of the people that come through dependency court, and those are cases where the child is dependent on the court for to get looked after. When I came on the bench, the judge had it had this court once every 2 months. He didn't give it a very high priority. And I said, these guys get the highest priority. And we quit making them pay court costs to come into court. I don't make anybody come into dependency court pay court costs because these are poor people that need help. And we've like quadrupled the number of cases in dependency court. And so poor people have access to the court system to resolve issues of custody and visitation. And our system is working so much better with lots of people that had no recourse at all are being able to come into court now. That's a really good thing. Child support's another thing. Our statistics, we have been historically on the bottom of the row of the rung, not anymore. We've moved up to the middle of the rung in the state and the counties in the state. Our collections are off the chain. We surpassed a goal of 90% paternity establishments within the last 2 months, and that's like unheard of for a county our size. We're cooperating with DHR and our court, and it's just working so much better. When I got on the bench, it would take 12 to 18 months for a woman to get a case to court for child support. And now, if they file it and the person is served, it's within 30 days that they come to court. And so we really have cleared up backlogs, and so we're making progress there. I wanted to mention our drug program in our district court. We have an inpatient and an outpatient track that we do for drug court and for drug programs. There is a misconception in the community with many people or some people that this is just Bob sending all these people for treatment and he's not locking them up and, you know, these folks are breaking into our houses and, you know, he's just up there trying to be a pastor. And I've heard that a good bit. And I want to clear that up. That is not true. I am not confused. When I'm on the bench, I'm not a pastor. I'm the judge. And Mike can tell you, I am not a nice guy in juvenile court. It's not. It's not about my ego. It's about the position and what I'm supposed to be in this community. I'm a watchman for the community, and I know that. I'm supposed to take care of us, be fair to the defendant and the individual, but I got to look after you guys because I live here too. And so the drug program, we are selective on who gets in it. There is a selection process. Not everybody that gets charged gets the opportunity to go to drug court or gets an opportunity to go to rehab. Only first-time kind of offenders, people that are just beginning to get into criminal behavior, they're not really criminal-minded, and we want to give them a legitimate opportunity to change with accountability. If they don't change and they don't complete the program, they go to jail. It's that simple. And I don't play. The people that have been through the drug court and have been in my court know that I'm not playing. And it's not because I've got power or because I want to be heavy-handed. It's because I'm supposed to look after you guys, the law-abiding citizens. I'm supposed to take care of the community. And so if you hear somebody saying, oh, Judge Armstrong's just all about babying these criminals and coddling them, you tell them that is not true. When I put on that robe, I got one mind on being fair to the person standing before me, but I got another eye on the community. And I'm always trying to be fair and look after the community, too. But it's been very successful, very successful. We have about 85% of the people that complete the programs that we send are clean. There are people coming back to our community. There's 15 people right now that have come back after the program, and they are clean. They're productive citizens. They're not going to break into your homes anymore, because they've been rehabbed and they've been changed. These are Christian-based programs. They last a year. They're tough. They're hard. They're structured. It's not playtime. It's not Club Med. They got to follow the rules, and they get Jesus, 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 and He changes their lives. We have about 70% of the people that we send complete the programs, and about 85% of those are staying clean. And it goes across the economic spectrum, and it's been hugely successful. So if y'all hear somebody saying Judge Armstrong's all about babying criminals, that's not true. It's not true. But I am about helping our community be a safer place by giving first-time kind of offenders not all of them get to go. We weed them out. But people that would be good candidates, we give them an opportunity to go get changed by Jesus. And it's working. It's crazy it's working. All right, enough of that. I wanted to give a quick report, and now I want to really talk about what I think the Lord really wanted me to talk about. When I'm going to talk to you some about what's happening at Blue Jean Service. And when I talk about this, the spirit behind this is not one of pride. It's to share a story of what's happening. And I think the Lord wants me to share it with y'all because you've been doing it for years. And I think He may want to pour out another anointing on you to do it some more. And we're like guinea pigs. We have no idea what we're doing. I mean, my gosh, we're Presbyterians. We don't know how to do this. You know, the Baptists may be bringing them in by truckloads, but we don't know what we're doing. And but our hearts have been right. A couple of years ago, we had a meeting of our session in the church, and the discussion was, what's our church going to look like in 10 years or 20 years? Our numbers are fading, and we're a dying church, basically. And so we spent the hour and a half, 2 hours talking about how to grow the church. We had ideas from balloons on the banisters and going to the doors to visitor parking lots, places, and I mean all the good, well-intentioned, good ideas that had no power at all. And the whole time I'm sitting there thinking, Lord, this isn't it. This isn't it. This is all about numbers in the church. This is all about the church. It's got to be about your people. It's got to be about your people. And so finally I said, guys, I know everybody's hearts are trying to be right and all this, but I'll tell you this, nothing is going to work until our hearts are about those people out there that are dying without Jesus. And once our hearts get to be about them, God's Spirit will fall on that. It will be so anointed, we won't know what to do with it. And so we prayed about it, we chewed on it, and within a couple of months, 3 months, we started doing it. And it has been the most powerful, compelling thing I've ever been a part of. We are seeing people's lives changed left and right. We are seeing people coming to us. It's just turning the corner on us, not just us asking, but the people we've asked are starting to ask people to come. And last Sunday we haven't been counting numbers, but the session of the church kind of wants to know how many people are coming and stuff. And so the last few Sundays we've counted, we've had 120, we had 103. The next Sunday we had 126 last Sunday. And we've only been going like a year and a half. And I know it's not just about numbers. It's not. But we are seeing spiritual growth. We're seeing transformed lives, people's lives changing. There's an energy and an excitement and a passion and love out the wazoo. I can't tell you the numbers of people that I consistently hear say, what I experienced was I've never felt so loved and accepted at the First Presbyterian Church. Now, that is a miracle. That is a sign and wonder. It is a modern-day sign and wonder. Now, it is. You know it is. And we're seeing, we're hearing that constantly, consistently. And it's based on, when I was running today, I said, Lord, what do you want me to say tonight? You know, what is it? And I kept hearing the words, reach out, 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 reach out. And I said, okay, well, where's the scripture? And I heard, when you've done it to the least of these, you did it to me. And so I found that scripture, and I want to read it to you. It's in Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. It says, when the Son of Man, Jesus is talking, he said, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he'll separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep on the right and the goats on the left. And he said, then the king will say to those on his right, come on in, you who are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I've never seen that before until I read it today. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. And the people would look at him and say, Lord, when did we do that? And he'll say, well, I'll tell you the truth. The king replied, whenever you did it for one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it for me. And then he goes through the same thing, as you know, for the goats. And he says, y'all go to hell. Y'all can't come to heaven. You can't come to the kingdom. And they say, well, why? And he said, you didn't feed my sheep. You didn't clothe them. You didn't help them. You didn't invite them in. And it's a hard scripture. It really is. And as I mean, I've not done this very well in my life. But we're beginning to. And it's the most exciting thing I've ever seen. We're beginning to invite the stranger in. And it's not just changing them. It's changing me. It's changing us. It's melting our hearts. We're able to love more because God's Spirit's there. And so it's transforming us. We're becoming different because of it. You know, there's some scriptures, one of them is in John chapter 15, that, you know, so often as someone that wants to walk in faith, you know, I can talk a good game and I can pray my prayers and read my scripture whenever I read them and try to be, you know, a good person. But listen to what Jesus says here. He says, my command is that you love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And that doesn't have to be literal. You can lay down your life by serving. And says, you're my friends if you do what I command. If you do it. Not just talk about it. Not just dance around it. But do it. And then in James, the book of James, you know, that scripture where Jesus' brother James says, faith without works is dead. He says, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. There is action required. There is action. You can't be a faithful Christian if you are not doing it. Now, I'm preaching to the choir at Christ the King, because I'm fruit of your action. Y'all have done this for me. You guys invited me in years ago, and I came, and I ate like a little pig in here, and I still do. I still will. Y'all helped me grow up. Y'all helped me mature and learn so much. And so I know you guys have been doing this for years. But you know, every place goes through seasons. And I would suggest to you that this is a season not for First Pres, but it's a season for the church of God, for the church of Jesus. That this is a wave of the Spirit that's moving through our community to invite the stranger in. To do it. Talk to them in the grocery store. Grab them in the lettuce aisle. I mean, it's like I'm so obnoxious about it. I'm like saying, well, where do you go to church? You know, if you go someplace, great, that's great. You know, I'm so glad to hear that. We're not trying to steal anybody. If you're not going anyplace, come to where we are. We will love you. We will love you. We won't know what to do with you, but we will love you. And it's the most transforming thing I've ever seen. And I would encourage you guys. I believe the word of the Lord to you guys tonight is well done, good and faithful servants. Because you can look around here and you can see a lot of the fruit of y'all's labor throughout the years. But God's not done with y'all. He's got people that He's picked out for you to minister to you here, for y'all to minister to here. That He doesn't want at First Pres or at Cross Point or at Elkdale or wherever else. He's got people for you that He's chosen for y'all to come here to you, that y'all will minister to, that y'all will help grow, just like you have me. And so start asking. One of the things that the Lord has spoken in my life recently was the scripture where Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing. And I was like, man, that sounds easy. Because I run around like a chicken with my head cut off sometimes. And so I just started saying, well, Father, let me see what you're doing, because I don't want to do anything but what you do. And so let me see, and you will be amazed at how you'll be walking down the street, you'll be in the grocery store, you'll be in Winn-Dixie, you'll be at the gas station, and all of a sudden somebody will be standing next to you, and you'll just think, I need to ask them, you know, how are you doing? You know, how are you doing? And you will be amazed at the results. I'm just blown away sometimes at some of the God things that happen from doing that simple prayer. And so, be encouraged. You've done it well, but the Lord's wanting you to do it some more. There's a new wave of the Spirit. It's like a new wave. It's like at the beach. There's always a new wave. And so, y'all jump on the wave and start inviting the stranger in. And your fellowship will have fresh life, fresh wind, fresh anointing, fresh power, fresh energy, just like we're seeing it. And then you know what? The kingdom of God will be built in Dallas County. And it'll be happening all over. And it's like I told Alan Yarborough one time, I said, you know, we ain't competing for a small group of people. There's so many out there, we couldn't get them all if we wanted them all. There's plenty in the market. There's plenty for everybody. And so there's no competition. None at all. And so y'all go for it. Go for it.